Well, hello, everybody. It's Jane Hamill, and thanks again for joining me on today's podcast. Today, I'm doing something special. I have me a special guest. His name is Tom Buford, and he is my very own coach. So any of you who wonder, I wonder if Jane ever needs any coaching or consulting. Yeah, I do, and I got my guy on here today. So let's see if he's here. Tom, can you hear us?
I can hear you just fine.
All right. Hi. Thanks for coming. So today is Tom Buford from Tom Buford Marketing. And I found Tom through, I don't even know, probably another webinar or some of your marketing things. And one of the topics that he's very, very expert in, as you say, and just really well-versed in is how to charge what you deserve and how to get over fear of pricing and a lot of the things that happen between the ears when we as designers or entrepreneurs are trying to get our product to market. Mm-hmm. So Tom has graciously agreed to be on the show. Tom, you rock. Thank you.
You bet.
I think I'll just lead off with, you know, why don't you tell us who are you and what is it that you do?
Sure. So, well, thanks for having me, Jane. This is really, really cool. Excited, love being interviewed and doing interviews. So it's
awesome.
Always fun. Yeah, so my name is Tom Buford, of course, and I have a website, tombufordmarketing.com, where I talk about, you know, getting yourself out as an expert, how you can charge what you deserve, how you can create information products and coaching programs to reach more people and leverage your time. And this is fun because I usually talk to, you know, coaches, consultants, and other service providers. And while I do once in a while talk to people that are more brick and mortar, have goods for sale, it's fewer rather than more often, so this is really fun. But the way I got started, I had an automotive or owned an automotive painting business for quite a few years, starting in 1999, and I walked away from that business about 2006 because I was starting to have a lot of health concerns being around the chemicals and in the sun and all that fun stuff. So I realized that's not the business that I was going to stay in for a long period of time. So I essentially sold that business to two of my friends that were helping me run the business. And then kind of looking around like, hey, what do I do? And I started investing in real estate, and I got caught up in the big real estate bubble and actually went through a bankruptcy in 2006. So I was actually buying the real estate before I left the painting business and thought I had things all set up, and then the market crashed, and I was not very well protected. So learned a lot of things that I should have done differently. So at the same time that was going on, I was getting out trying to do coaching. And I was wanting to help other small business owners with their businesses. And so I'm going through a coaching program, and I'm seeing that there's really no help on the pricing. Very little input out there on what do you charge, how do you set your prices for goods or services, and this whole bit. So it was kind of a weird situation or a very interesting situation because at the time, I am trying to start this new business on pricing, yet I just went through a bankruptcy. And so I had a lot of internal struggle on that topic. And in fact, I had really good information. I was sharing a lot. You know, I had a pretty extensive background in marketing and sales. I was selling my goods and services or my services to used car managers for years. So, you know, I learned you have to have some thick skin. You're going to hear no, but you've got to stand your ground. But, you know, going through the bankruptcy really took the wind out of my sails. And so I know firsthand what it's like when you're trying to get your stuff out there and you have all this stuff, like you said, between the ears. And that's really, you know, 99% of it, I have to say. I think it's more to do with that than what you're actually selling. And, of course, that has a lot to do with how you're setting your prices. But so much of it has to do with what's going on in your head. And so that's, you know, got me really interested in this topic. And, you know, I've stuck with it. And so it's, you know, I'm certainly beyond that, you know, defining myself as somebody who survived a bankruptcy, but that is part of my story and part of my background. And that, you know, I think it helps me connect with people that, you know, maybe they haven't gone through bankruptcy, but they're really kind of second-guessing what they're selling and their expertise, and they're questioning whether they can go out there and really charge what they deserve. So it's a very compelling topic, and I'm actually getting ready to kick off my podcast show for Charge What You Deserve, so I'm excited about that.
Maybe that's great.
More people. Yeah. Well, it's
so
great
it's going
to
be
to other
about
their journeys.
Okay, so it's going to be a podcast just for pricing and how to charge and how to not get caught up in whatever it is that we all seem to get caught up in.
Yeah, you know, right? I mean, the podcast can be Charge What You Deserve podcast, and it's going to be the art and science of pricing. And it's going to get into,
awesome.
You know, everybody, I think anyone that's out there now, you know, you look at them and they're doing well and seemingly they just showed up and, you know, set their prices. I think everybody went through some internal chatter, whether it's struggle, maybe it wasn't struggle, but there was something that they went through. So that's going to be part of it. It's kind of the hero's journey, you know, the, hey, what got you here? What got you, you know, around the bend to finally start charging what you deserve? And I don't think you're going to hear too many people going, wow, I really wish I could be charging less. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's a triumph. So, but it takes a lot to get out there and do that. So,
well, I got to tell you, I love that you put it out there that you went through bankruptcy because I think so many people only present the good sides.
Mm-hmm.
And that is super refreshing to hear that you're normal. You're like, you went through something and you're not afraid to admit it. And that helps, I think, people really relate to you. So, as a person who follows your stuff, I appreciate that.
Okay, yeah.
So,
well, you know,
let me ask you a couple questions.
Time, so I thought I had to be perfect. So I wouldn't talk about it. And then when I started talking about it, people were saying, wow, thanks for talking about it. You know, made a difference. And so if I'm out there actually trying to help other business owners and make an impact, then I think you have to talk about that stuff. So it's good.
Yeah, it's not easy though, right?
No, it's not. So, but you know what? It's cathartic. So, I mean, it makes you feel better when you do because then you go, okay, I don't have anything to hide now. So just get it out there. Done.
So you generally work with service providers,
yeah,
and coaches, and my clients, the people listening, are people who have a product. They're product based,
mm-hmm, yes,
businesses.
Sure.
Do you feel there are differences between how you price? You know, obviously with a product, you have, in addition to your cost sheet, you know, you have your cost of goods sold. It's a little different than actually just selling a service. What are the similarities between product service and the pricing things that go on in your head, and what are the differences? Or what's one, I should say. Otherwise,
yeah,
we'll be here till midnight.
That's really, yeah, you know, I mean, that's a great question because it makes me think when you were asking me, hey, you know, love to interview you for this, and then I'm thinking, okay, I kind of have to redesign some of my information or think differently, but I really, most of it, I don't. It's just kind of setting the examples. Okay, here's an example of pricing with a you know, an actual tangible good. I actually had one of my early clients when I got started, she sold pens, and they were like custom-made carved pens, and it was Pat's Pens. And so there, you know, I do have experience with this. But really, you know, one of the main things when you're – the similarity is that if you're positioning yourself as – I'm going to say an expert because in our world, in the service world, it's, you know, you're positioning yourself as an expert – but if you're getting out there and you're being seen by your marketplace, you're being seen as somebody that is, you know, has status. And so when you do that, you can certainly start charging more because you're being seen. And there are just certain things you can do in marketing to be seen and be in, kind of in front of your public. And we'll talk about this one. You know, I'm sure you're going to ask me something about, you know, specific prices. So we'll,
yeah,
talk about, you know, the impact it would have if you were to start pricing too low. But you know, really, it's mindset. I mean, I really believe that, yes, there are some things you want to look at. The differences between the service and the hard good is that with a service, I can redefine what I do by changing a sentence. So I can position myself by myself differently very easily, or
amazing.
I would say easier than somebody that has a store with clothing. And then somebody else comes in and they look at, well, there's another store down here that has clothing. In other words, a commodity. So with a service, I can change it so that it's not a commodity. Like I'm not selling a commodity. And I think that's a challenge for people that have a hard good is that how do you position yourself so you're not selling a commodity? Because if you're selling a commodity, you're always going to compete on price. And so the point is how do you establish yourself differently? How do you separate yourself from other people out there? And I would say one of the things is don't lower your price. You know, you don't necessarily have to start at the lowest end because then what you're doing is you're putting yourself with everybody else. I think that can be a big mistake.
So I love this. So basically, and you're right, in a sense, we as designers and artists or whatever, we're selling a commodity, okay? Mm-hmm. So the first thing you'd say is, all right, don't start low. This is a huge issue for my clients. Mm-hmm. Well, Jane, I know that my stuff is just as good as blank line. I mean, I really believe it's as good, but since I'm new and they don't know me and I don't have name recognition, I'm going to offer it at this low, cheapo price to try to get in the market, and then when I get a following, I'm going to raise my prices.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you say to that person?
Well,
it kills me when people say that. It's killing me.
You know, so the same thing happens with, you know, coaches that I work with. They start off, and unfortunately, like in the coaching industry, what they tell people is, like, hey, go out there and give free sessions. So all they're doing is doing these free sessions. They're basically begging people to do a free session. That person doesn't even want it. So now they think, well, but I'm establishing myself as this expert. But you're not getting any results, so you're not establishing yourself as an expert. So it's not really helping your business other than you are getting some experience, but you're getting experience with all the wrong people.
Right.
I don't think that this really develops a good, strong, long-term business model. I think that's why a lot of coaches really struggle. But, you know, one thing, price is a reflection of value. So people instantly think if something's cheap, it's low value. If it's expensive, it's higher value. Whether this is true or not is irrelevant. So, you know, Toyota could put out just as good a product as Mercedes. But people consider, think, you know, even though we know Toyotas are going to last forever, but there's still something about the Mercedes that people want to, they want to buy their Mercedes. They don't want the Toyota. And it's, the price is always going to be a reflection, because if somebody came out with a Mercedes and it was $10,000, people would say, well, what's wrong with it? It's got to be something wrong. You can't buy a Mercedes for $10,000 unless it has 200,000 miles. So it's just, you know, just be really careful when you're getting yourself out there and you're setting a price low and putting yourself right in there with the mix of all the other people who are setting their prices low, and you're all basically competing to see who can get the lowest and go out of business fastest. And instead of separating yourself from those people, and I know it takes a lot of faith and it takes confidence in what you're selling, but, you know, I don't know that you're doing yourself any good by selling, you know, starting low. However, I mean, if you do that, I want people to answer the question, you know, specifically, why are you doing this? What's your strategy for starting with your prices low? And why would you not be able to just raise your prices and get out there? And I think people have all these assumptions that, well, you know, I just got started with my line and people are going to want to see my product first before they spend money on it. But realistically, do people know how long you've been selling that product? And, I mean, if you just opened up a store, I mean, I know there are a lot of different variables in here, but I think we make all these assumptions. You know, you're getting started as a coach or consultant, and you're thinking, wow, I've got to have 10 years under my belt before I can set my prices higher. I have to work with 100 clients.
Right.
But your clients don't know that. They don't know how long you've been in business. That's not a question that comes up. They either like it or they don't. They want to work with you or they don't. With the clothing,
right.
They either like it or they don't, and it's worth the price or not. And if the price is $5, people are going to assume it's cheap and it's going to fall apart. If it's $50, they're going to say, wow, this must be really high quality. And I'm sure that because you work with a lot of people that are in kind of the boutique area, I would assume, right, that
mm-hmm.
what they're selling is very good quality because they have more control over what they're producing.
Mm-hmm.
So these are probably people that have they're selling at the highest end in terms of quality. And they could absolutely, I think, command, you know, higher prices than what they're getting.
And do you think, like you just mentioned, part of what you do is you help people sort of be known as the expert in your field.
Yeah.
And I think that runs totally true with designers. So
yeah, sure.
If you look at Tory Burch or Ralph Lauren or, you know, Mercedes or any of them, they're selling something besides just the product.
Yeah, definitely.
How does that play in? Like, how could somebody listening today, like, let's say you want to go after Tory Burch, okay? Do you know that line? I'm sorry. I should pick a line that you're familiar with. I don't know if you know it. Like,
well,
that might be
that's
a fashion thing.
That's a good line, yeah.
So let's say, okay, you know it? Okay. All right, so let's say they want it. They're like, Jane, my stuff is as good as Tory Burch. It's the same customer, but, it, you know, it's a different style, but it's the same customer.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to somebody who says, I can't charge Tory Burch prices? What would you say to that person?
Well, if this were a one-on-one conversation where I could have a back and forth, the first thing I would ask is why.
Okay, I'll be that person.
Assumptions there. So why?
I'll be the designer.
Yeah.
Why? Well, Tom, nobody knows my name. I mean, Tori Burch is famous, and she has a house in the Hamptons, and she's blonde.
Mm-hmm. Well, what if people knew your name?
But they don't.
What if they did?
Oh, I don't know. I never thought about that,
Tom. Okay, so if they knew your name, I would assume that you could feel more confident about getting your prices up. So how do we get out there and how do we get people to know your name? And then
yes.
We could have a conversation about what if you did a press release? What if you did all kinds of things you could do in your marketing? I know people just love marketing. But doing something, let's just say brand awareness.
Well, they love attracting customers. They just might not like that name marketing.
Yeah, you know, marketing has a bad rap, I think, and there are a lot of people that have given it a bad rap for a good reason. But in general, marketing, I like to think of marketing as just, educating people on what you have. And in this case, it's just letting people know that you have a great quality, excellent quality clothing that is a style that people are going to love to wear. And it's, similar to this, to these other lines, and I don't know, Valentino or whatever, but it's, you have to think, who is my ideal person, my ideal buyer? What does that mm-hmm. person want to wear? And are they going to, where would they want to shop? Is it the TJ Maxx shopper or the Neiman Marcus shopper?
Right.
And if it's the Neiman Marcus shopper, they're not going to want to buy TJ Maxx prices necessarily, especially
right.
if they're making the assumption that what they're, the price is a reflection of value.
So you're actually making yourself uncompetitive if you underprice.
You're making yourself, you're creating competition, and then you're making your – you mean if you raise your prices?
No, let's say you want to go after –
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, the Tory Burch customer, the Neiman Marcus
yeah.
customer, but you're pricing it for every man, then
yeah.
you're totally not even in the game because people think you're too cheap.
Yeah, I mean, it's not to say that people don't want a good deal or that – people always want to have a good deal, but they still are willing to pay for – whether it's the value or whether it's the brand, sometimes, it's just the emblem, on a car. If you took the Mercedes emblem and put it on a Hyundai, some of these, the style cars they're putting out now are fantastic and the quality's there. They're not getting the prices that Mercedes is. But people would probably buy it. Oh, wow, that looks great. It's a Mercedes. I'll pay for it. It's actually a Hyundai. But so, oftentimes it's just the way you're positioning yourself.
And how long do you think it takes I know this isn't – I'm looking for a magical answer here.
Yeah.
But if you're with me, just let's say, all right, I'm going after Valentino. I'm going after the designer market.
Yeah.
And everybody knows Valentino because they've been around 30 years. I'm new.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm not going to price the same as Valentino. I'm going to go in maybe a little bit less, but nothing crazy too low.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you think it could realistically take – for somebody to have brand recognition of some sort in a niche market, not everybody knows the name
yeah.
Coke, but do you think this is something that's going to take a year, 2 years, 5 years, or you don't? This is a
yeah.
Really
I love that question. Okay. So, and again, your market is a little bit different than what I typically work with because I'll work with clients who can charge, let's say $3,000 for a service, and they only need to get in front of a few people, where I
mm-hmm.
do realize clothing, there's, higher volume involved. But imagine if you're charging, and especially when you're looking at what it costs to create something, and you're lowering your price, and, 70% of your price is cost. But then you double your price, and now it's, 30% or whatever that would work out to be. So
yeah.
you're much, much more profitable. You're able to scale up your profits considerably by doubling, and you might have room to, four, five, six times your price. I don't know. But so it can have a massive impact, so I would say do it sooner rather than later, of course, if you want to be successful. But so I'll play an example here. If somebody is listening to this podcast, I want you to think whether you consider me an expert or not. Now, you might hate my information or think that, I don't know. But assuming that you haven't even heard me, you're making the assumption that I'm an expert because somebody you trust has positioned me as an expert. So that happened instantly. There was no time frame. It doesn't take me a year to establish myself as an expert.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? It happens like that. That's your
good.
Perception is that Tom's an expert. And if somebody has, they want feedback and they want coaching and mentoring around pricing or marketing, there's a good chance that they, might be able to contact me or whatnot. And I'm not going to lower my prices just because, in your eyes, you just found out of it now. So So now I'm going to have to build this year-long relationship with you. So if you were out there positioning your brand, your product, your line, like in the just get it out there. And press releases, you can do online press releases. You can there's all sorts of things you can do. You can and also people want to buy from people. So if you get your personality out there, start doing creating a YouTube channel or something, and then talk about all of your the line that you're bringing out there, and then you're going to get people that are following you. And they're going to be waiting for that next blouse design or dress design or skirt or whatever that you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're getting these people that they're getting to know you. They're seeing other people wearing your clothes. And it can happen so fast. It's not – it doesn't have to be 2, 3, 4, 5 years before you're being seen as this person that has – that's selling what people want to put on their backs.
I love it.
It can happen instantly. As soon as they see you – and they connect your clothing line with how they want to feel. And remember that, too. People want – there's an emotion involved when people are paying more for, you know, than just, hey, Levi's and white T-shirts. You know, that's not your market. So there's an emotional connection that people have with clothing. It makes them feel better about themselves. It makes them feel confident. And sometimes when people pay more for clothing, that gives them that feeling.
Every time.
Empowering. Well, it's empowering. Think about it.
Yes. Oh,
and
my gosh, it totally is.
You know, people could be struggling financially, but they realize, listen, I'm in sales or I'm in, you know, I'm a realtor, and I need to feel good about myself. So when I put clothes on, I want to feel incredible about myself, and I don't want to walk up to somebody and know that I'm going to have the potential of running into somebody who is wearing the same skirt or same shoes or same scarf.
That this is good stuff because I forget about that. You know, just if you're following Fashion Brain and then Tom comes on as Jane's choice for, you know, pricing and pricing fears, you're going to think he's probably good.
Mm-hmm.
If you like the show. If you don't, then you're not. But
yeah.
So you're already there if you are positioned in a place that sets you up as the expert, as the person who knows.
Yeah.
So same for a brand.
Yeah, so that being said, you still have to deliver value. So I don't want to just come on a show and say and, you know, give crap information. Hopefully I'm not. I don't think I am. I mean, I'm
not to
up,
me.
But, you know, so the point is that, you know, that'll weed itself out. If you're delivering a bad product, that's going to weed itself out. So it doesn't matter whether you're selling it cheap or expensive. It doesn't matter where your price is. The quality will eventually weed itself out. So you know, as long as you feel confident that, hey, you know what, I create good clothes. The same thing with me. If I feel confident that, listen, it, you know, I don't care what Jane throws at me, I can answer some questions. If I don't feel confident about the question, I'm going to let people know because I don't want to share bad information. I truly want to share good information so that people walk away feeling comfortable about the information that they got from me. So that combined with the fact that you positioned me as the expert, I didn't do that. You did that because you've taken all the time to develop this relationship with your folks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've invited me in. So now I'm instantly seen as an expert. Same thing, you know, that's why I read an article recently about, it was actually in a book I'm reading, talking about press, a press release versus paid advertising. So if you go to any print publication, whether it's newspaper or magazine or even online, and you see a paid advertisement, you know that the person that ad represents created that ad or some company that was hired to create that ad, but it's on their behalf. When you see a press release or there's a podcast interview or something like that, that person or that publication is positioning that person as an expert. So when you see a press release, you get a different feeling about what's being said about that company because it's now that it's the publication is saying it. It's not the
mm-hmm.
advertiser. Does that make sense?
Yes, totally. It absolutely
does. Yeah, people are looking for press releases. Their publications are looking for press releases. They're looking for – and it could just be local. It could be online. It could be, you know, large publication or people that help with press releases. And it's not the only thing that you can do, but it's a way of getting yourself out there and being seen and getting your brand known. So that people are starting to identify you with someone that's very well established, even if you just got started a month ago.
That's awesome. You just forget about the fact that people don't know how long you've been around and how much street cred you have already. You present yourself with it,
Yeah.
So then they believe it. And what do you do, like somebody like me, when I started, I don't know if I ever even told you this story, Tom, but when I first opened my store, I opened my store before I launched my wholesale line, mm-hmm. and I had everything priced, and a woman came in 2 days before I was open, and she was sort of my mentor who worked for a not-for-profit in the fashion industry in Chicago. And she said, Jane, everything looks great. You're ready for your launch. Everything's price ticketed beautifully. But I got to tell you, you're charging wholesale prices here. She said, you'll be out of business in 6 months if you open with these prices. And I was like, huh? But I just want to give everybody a really good deal. And, you know, what makes us undercharge like that? How do we get the confidence to charge more towards what the cost sheet says and more towards maybe where we want to be in the market?
Well, I mean, I think you just said it right there is, you know, where do you want to be in the market? And the sooner you can position yourself there, the better. And you could do it today by changing the number on the price tag. I mean, it is that simple. It's not that easy. So,
right.
I mean, raising your prices is a simple concept. It's a very difficult concept for a lot of people because there's a lot of emotion that's involved. And I think one of the biggest things that comes in light, you know, you're creating your brand. You've got your clothing that you've dedicated so much hard work into this. And you don't want rejection. And I think rejection is probably the number one reason that we set our prices too low.
It is,
right? We don't want rejection. I don't care what you're selling. It's so personal. It's so, like, this is you. It's like you feel it in your gut. Like, gosh, if somebody walks in the store and they walk out of the store without buying something, they just rejected my clothing. Hey, they might be making a huge list of things that they want to buy for a friend. You know, birthday is coming up. You don't know. You know, we make these assumptions. Again, it's all these assumptions. We assume that they don't want my stuff. They hated my clothes because they walked out and they didn't buy it. So because of that, we want to set the price so low that they go, oh, wow, this is a bargain. Well, now you're, you know, a bargain dealer. That's it, selling commodities. And it's hard to get out of that. You know, when you establish yourself there, that's really hard to break away from being the bargain. You can't get out there and say, I'm starting off as a bargain, and later I'm going to be, you know, Valentino.
Well, what happens is then you have customers who only will pay a certain price, and then you have nobody in your market. You have to start over getting brand new customers.
Yep. Definitely.
Which is a nightmare. Why build up a following under one price point and then have to raise it later?
Yeah.
So what
remember,
I was saying then.
Fewer sales. Okay. I mean, if you break it down and say if I were to just double my prices. You need probably a third of the sales because you account for the cost of the goods.
Mm-hmm.
So you need, okay, so that means less advertising is necessary, fewer sales to make the same amount of money. Obviously, you want to advertise as much as you can to get people in and make as many sales as you can. But, so that's definitely
so probably what I was saying back then when I was first opening, young Jane was saying to myself, I'm saying to you, I want to give people a good deal, but what really was happening was I am afraid of rejection.
Yeah, I mean,
so
I think
I'm
so.
I'm afraid to price
absolutely.
What I think they should be because
what
I want
think?
People to not want it. I absolutely, that had to be it. I mean, I know that's it. It's just kind of a tough nut pill to swallow.
Well, you know, again, going back to the coaching analogy, and I don't know, you know, people listening, I'm talking about like a business or life coach, so. This has been a very, you know, big growing industry. There's very few barriers to entry getting in. And there are people that have really good messages and life story, you know, that they can share. And they just want to get it out there. And they don't want to hear no. They're not salespeople. They don't want to do this. They just want to get out there and help people. So they start giving it away for free. And then nobody's doing this stuff. Well, gee, of course not. They didn't even buy into it. Right? They're trying to help you out because you asked if you could do a free session with them.
Yeah.
So they felt bad for you.
Yeah, people don't value.
That's not how you
want to
build your business. Yeah,
they don't value what they don't pay for. This is the truth.
No, definitely don't. And they're not going to use it.
So,
they're not going to go out and do it. So,
Let me just recap what I learned a lot today. And I've spent a lot of time listening and talking with you and getting coached by you, and I still learned a lot. I love your story too. That you came from automotive painting service. You shared your personal experience about having gone through a bankruptcy and having to get back up on the horse. And have pricing confidence, whether you felt it or not, you had to do it, which is amazing. You talked about how you can reposition yourself to be selling not just the commodity. So what else are you selling? So like Mercedes has built up their brand value, and you're selling kind of the lifestyle too with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't lower your prices to be so low that then you've decreased, you know, the price is a reflection of value.
Mm-hmm.
You've said part of being able to charge, you know, we are admitting part of being able to charge what Valentino can charge is that it's Valentino, right? And so if you can educate people about what you do and get people to know your name, that can happen fairly quickly, actually, and the perception of your brand can go up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And you can create yourself as the expert. So if you make white shirts, you are the person who's known for the best fit, shipping on time, whatever it is, in addition to actually having the shirts. You have talked about press releases can be great, maybe doing some YouTube videos. I love video, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the emotion involved, you know, if I buy this, I'm going to feel like this. You know, and that's such a great thing, delivering value. And I love how you mentioned about the product, about if it's quality product or if it's a good product, if people want to buy it. Because
yeah.
if it's a bad product, so to speak, it's going to weed itself out. Love that. And then to position yourself on where you want to be in the market rather than where you think you can go. Like, well, I want to be here,
yeah,
but I think I can do only this.
Yeah.
To really think hard about that.
Get your,
and just consider raising your prices and risking rejection.
Yeah, no matter where you set your price, people are going to reject it. Now, I talk about this when we're selling a service. If you lower your price to accommodate everybody, you'll never please everybody because there's some people that won't pay anything.
Oh, God,
so,
that's the truth.
So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're selling your stuff for. Not everybody wants it, and that's a good thing because you don't want to be the brand that sells – you know, white T-shirts. That's not what you're doing. Not everybody wants white T-shirts. You know, I mean, it's not – there's no one clothing line or anything that everybody likes. But yet you're trying to set a price that accommodates everybody. And that's not going to help your business.
Well, you know, we're people pleasers, a lot of us, you know,
definitely.
Especially women. We're like, well, then my friends can't buy it if I price it like this. Or my cousin's complaining. Or like, you know what? Then they're not your ideal customer. But it's
right.
It's hard at first.
Sure.
Oh, my gosh, Tom, I've learned a lot. Thank you so much.
Good.
If people want to read, because I know you have some pretty cool videos and things, and you're starting your podcast, where can we find you?
TomBufordMarketing.com. So Tom Buford Marketing, TomBuford, marketing.com. And I've got videos there on, you know, pricing and kind of mindset, and my podcast will hopefully be out in a few weeks. And so people will be able to get some great interviews with other people and then some solo information that I'm going to be sharing too. Really excited about it.
I loved that one video you have. I think it's called Slap Fear in the Face.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
I actually go back to that a lot.
Good.
When I
That's
get
good
like
feedback.
A little.
Yeah, totally. We all do. It's not like this is you're done. Okay, you'll never worry about this again.
Yeah.
Realize that there are people out there that are successful and selling at the high end. And they go through the same struggle. They have the same fear. They have the same doubts. Yet they just said, you know what? I want to be over here, position myself over here, and I know that starting low or cheap is not going to help me get there. The quickest path is to just project myself there and start working on that. And what do I have to do to be that clothing line? What do I have to do? And start looking at marketing and whatnot, even if you don't like marketing, start seeing what other companies are doing. Learn to love marketing because that's the lifeblood of your business. But see what other companies are doing. What does Apple do? What does Mercedes do? What does Audi do? What do these people do in their commercials? How do they position in your clothing line? What are they doing differently? Because when it comes down to it, there's nothing else that separates you from any other high-end clothing line out there. You have access to the same material. You have great designs in your head that people will love, and you've just got to get it out there.
Yeah. Get over it. Slap fear in the face.
That's right.
Seriously. Get over it. It's tough. It's tough, but that's why we're here, to help.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, Tom, thank you so much. You're such a doll for doing this. I totally appreciate it.
Thanks for having me here.
Oh, you bet. And thanks to everybody who is listening. And let me ask you, did you like this podcast? If you like this episode, then click the like button. And if you want to shoot on over to the blog and let us know what is your biggest takeaway? Which part of what Tom just shared today really spoke to you? Are there any mistakes that you've made with your pricing that you can share with us? Give us a specific example to really dive in on what you – hey, guys, don't do what I did. Just go to the blog and go to fashionbrainacademy.com/blog/10, like the number 10, 10. All right? And, Tom, thanks again. I totally appreciate it.
You bet.
And I'll be talking to you real soon.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks for having me. All right.
You bet. Take care.
Alrighty, bye-bye.